2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading from the NKJV. Paul had just wrote a letter to the Corinthians, and he was addressing some problems in the church. And he was also having to contend for his apostleship, and people were being mean. Imagine that, somebody being mean at church. And that's what had been going on, and Paul writes this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. He was writing that he was writing out his own credentials right there. But me saying, Pastor John Morgan, by the will of God. That had to be so uncomfortable just to even write that right there. But he had to be truthful. And he was called out very differently than everybody else. And he was sure of his calling. He said, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to dwell on that, but just a second. But that's amazing that a man can write something like that, so nice and so kind, after being ripped and being questioned about his own calling. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would say things about Paul. He said, he's not even handsome to look at. He's a little old decrepit thing. Doesn't have a lot of power, but you put a pen in that man's hand and he will straighten you out. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. He's introducing God, the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Look at that. He says that we will be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. We don't get to choose how much trouble somebody gets into before we decide that we can help them. We have to be a church. Are y'all with me this morning? We have to be a church that no matter what they've been through, we've got to say God is the God that can bring you out of all trouble. Somebody sent me a text message this morning, and I could only start reading part of it before it started just peeling back layers in my heart. I haven't even read it all. I told them, I couldn't read it all. You got me. Because all I read was the line where they said that I hear the Lord saying to you that he is going to bring you out through it all. And it took me back to my childhood and an incredible artist by the name of Andre Crouch that I loved. He was so edgy. I was just a little white boy. I didn't even know anybody named Andre. And Andre Crouch singing these songs. He sang this song called Through It All. And I love what that. Have you ever heard that song? And it said this. He said, if I never had a problem, I would never know my God could solve them. See, that's the purpose of your problem right there, so that you'll know that God can solve it. Because I try to solve all my problems, and y'all do too. But there's some of my problems I can't solve. Because if I could, I'd be past them by now. But there's some things you just got to lay them into his hands. I believe that's what was represented this morning, those that came down. I got something I can't handle, but I know somebody who can. And when he said, I believe that's the God that's going to bring you through it all. See, when I signed up, I call it sign up. When I signed up for this thing, when I said, okay, God, I'll trust you. I believe you. I didn't consider the it all. It all wasn't even on the table. How many of you have got some it all in your life, because all of it is bigger than just the little sum of it that I thought that he had helped me with. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He's talking about a transfer that's taking place. Is that you've gone through something and you've received comfort from God. And now, because of what you've experienced, you're going to be able to turn that and help somebody else with the same thing that they're going through. And I mean, let's just be real. There's some things that we go through, and I was told all my life, because, you know, I don't want to seem like a jerk, but sometimes there are people that show up in your life and they'll say, oh, you know, God's just going to use that. I just want to say, shut up. Yeah, I'm not talking about an ingrown toenail. Oh, God's just going to use that. Well, here. There's been some stuff in my life. I didn't want God to ever use it for anybody, because I didn't want it to be used in my life. I didn't want it in my life at all. Can we just be real? Who would want to go through some of the stuff that I've had to go through in my life? Who would sign up for that and say, oh, yeah, Lord, I'm so spiritual that for your glory, yes, I'll go through that. No. There's some things you don't get to choose. But you do get to decide if you're going to walk through it. And you better have God with you when you do. And there's some things that I'm going through. This has been my year of testing, of stuff. It's the culmination. It's everything I was ever afraid of. My greatest fear came into being this year, and I've had to walk through it. And my wife and I have had so many conversations, crazy conversations. And one day she said, John, nobody understands. I said, Christine, we don't understand. How can I expect anybody? It's not that I was smarter than her. I had felt the same way. But sometimes you get so raw in front of God, and all of a sudden he just drops an answer on you. I have to stop expecting anybody to understand. You can't understand. I don't want you to understand, because for you to understand, you would have had to have been through what I went through. But because I would have never signed up, I would have never said, hey, John, here's some boxes for you to check. You know, here comes the scroll down from God. You know, prairie dust, gold dust coming off of it. Oh, that's from you, Lord. Hey, John, sign this box right here if you're okay with this. I'd be like, no, God. Absolutely not. You're the God that loves me, right? Aren't you still the God that loves me? Why would you give me this box to check off on? He doesn't do that. Because we would say no. Why? Because we're human. And we don't trust like we say we trust. Oops. All the songs we sing, we don't mean all the songs we sing. You are good. Good. Oh, yeah. You're never gonna let me down. Ultimately, you're never going to let me down. But my flesh is going to be so offended and so hurt that I'm going to think that you let me down. And I'm even going to accuse you of letting me down. You hear what I'm saying? And in that, he didn't let me down. He was God. The truth was, I was raised in church, and I was raised pretty good. But I was also raised to believe that there needed to be enough good happening in my life that counterbalanced all the bad that was happening in my life so that my faith would be something that was pleasing unto the Lord. When Jesus didn't say that, what he did say was, in this life, look at your neighbor and say, in this life, can't church it up for you. You're going to have trouble. And that's what he said. In this life, you're going to have trouble. Sign Jesus. Has anybody found that to be true? But take heart. I've overcome this whole world. There's something else, and it's more than you can even handle. And even when you say you do, you still can't. It's too great. It's too much for my mind. It's too much. Let me read on. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. So our comfort, our consolation is our comfort. Our consolation is His comfort. And it's going to be hard to get His comfort when you're blaming Him for what just happened. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul's talking to believers here. He's saying, if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. In other words, what he's saying is, if this happens, then you'll get this. But it's not going to seem like this. And I can't tell you the order that it's going to happen in first, but you're going to go through stuff, and I'm going to go through stuff. And we need to realize that as ground rules real quick. And I told y'all that a few weeks ago when I was at the hospital. I saw people walking out with brand new babies. The joy that was on their face. And I saw people walking out of the hospital, having to be comforted, having to be helped out, crying. I was just up there again the other day, and I saw a lady checking in, and it was all she could do to. You know, just, I'm not here to hurt it. You want my ID? I'm trying to get upstairs, my loved one. See, it's the worst day of her life. And it's the best day of somebody else's life. And it's the same day. It's the same period. The Word of God is true. One day you're going to be comforted. One day you're going to suffer. Which day you're on, I don't know, but He's the same God for both situations. We can start looking at people like that. Yeah, you're here today, but you're going to be here. We start looking at people as someone other than someone to be better than, or that's a whole other thought. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brother, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. That does not mean we were burdened beyond measure. I burnt the casserole. Not even close. I didn't get the job. It's a little more burdensome. Didn't get the raise. Didn't get the promotion. Didn't get a good report back from the doctor. She says it's over. He says it's over. See, things can get worse and worse and worse. They say, I've got 2 months. Last week they said, I've got 6 months. This week they said, I've got 2 months. So that we despaired even of life. Paul was saying, listen, I went through some stuff. I didn't even know I was going to make it out. And this is the same Paul that an angel came to him and told him, you've got to go and appear all the way over here in front of Caesar. And that means you've got to go to this court and this court and this court. But it didn't tell him that there's going to be shipwrecks along the way. He didn't say that you're going to have to swim for your life. He didn't say that when you make it floating in that some of you are going to have to come in on pieces of a busted up ship. He didn't say that there's going to be a barbaric people that are waiting on the shore for you to kill you. And then they're going to think you're a god, and then they're going to think that you're cursed, and so they're going to want to kill you, and then they're going to want to crown you, and then they're going to kill you. And Paul's like, I can't hardly take this anymore. Because he had forgotten. He said, we gave up. During all of that time, he said, we gave up all hope of life. They're on a ship, and they're untying things, trying to keep the thing from busting up and getting rid of all their resources. So now they're not going to have food for a couple of weeks, and they're cold, and they're wet, and wondering, where's God at in all this? And giving up even the very hope of being saved. But oh yeah, there's that thing that the angel of the Lord said, is that you have to appear in front of Caesar. That meant that whatever happened between when he said it's going to happen and here, one thing's for sure is you weren't going to be dead. You might be drug in and barely alive, but you're going to appear before Caesar. Have you ever felt like that? The places in your life that you felt like you had some promise in your life, but if I get there, I'm going to be all but dead when I get there. That's called life. And that's when you got to know that what you know is what you really know. And you're going to stick to that, and you're not going to give up on it. That's why he doesn't want us led by our feelings. That's why we don't live by our condition. We live by our position. Because my condition would take me right out of my position. I stood right there. I'd been preaching the gospel 10 years of my life. All of a sudden, I realized everything that I thought, all these people I thought loved me. I thought you loved me. You knew me when I was a baby. I didn't do nothing. You won't even speak to me. That's just, they don't even scratch the surface of how hard it was. It was hard. Never knowing that all that stuff that I thought was so big, I freeze dry that stuff now. You have to water that stuff down for it to be anything in my life now, right? I've been to the end. Tuesday will mark a year Kinsey left us. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. I just read something gigantically huge to you. It showed three places in God that are all in God. And it is my hope. Do you remember when I preached this to y'all? Because if you've been here ever, it's a good chance you ran into this portion of the sermon, because this revolutionized my life when my pastor showed me this concept and backed it through the Word of God, that when I got saved, my spirit was saved, but my mind is being saved, and my flesh body is not saved yet. It wants to be saved. Look, you can look at me like I'm letting you down right now, but this is you too. I'm just telling you. My spirit man is saved. He's on his way to heaven. My mind is being transformed every day. It's being saved. It's being reconvinced. It's making the choice again to stay with the Lord and not do the bad, but do the good and press on. And when I've messed up, I lay before the Lord. But it says that my body's not saved. That is the hope of my salvation, that this body, one day I'm going to be given a new body that's incorruptible. This old one's corruptible. And if you're not careful, it can be easily convinced to go back. Easily convinced. You'd be shocked at how easily convinced it could be to go back. And I know you shouted on Sunday, and I know that you read the Word that morning. You're up against an enemy that's really against you. And when you're really going through it, and you're really giving up, or you're really tempted to give up, you know what the enemy's doing? He's not sitting there saying, "Oh, almost got him. Come on, almost got him." He's pressing in. It's like, I still see. This is a picture of your enemy, and that's your neck. And as you're struggling and crying out to God, he said, "I still see a little bit of life in you, and I will get it all." That's the enemy you're against. Now, I hope you got that picture, because that's a pretty good picture. Hates you. Hates your children. Hate is what's inside of him. You better depend on a merciful God, full of mercy, full of comfort. Here's what I want you to see. Just like my spirit man is saved, I'm saying saved, past tense. It's fixed, it's done, it's finished. But my mind is being saved. That's presently being renewed. Anybody else? My flesh is not saved. If you can get to that point where you get that revelation, you'll be able to fight a battle more effectively. Don't trust it. It'll make you very careful to know that your flesh is not saved, so don't offer it anything. Don't make way, don't make provision for the flesh. In other words, don't set yourself up to fail. If you actively feed your flesh, you are agreeing to the failure that's on its way. You're prophesying failure to yourself. Because your flesh is enmity against God. There's no union. Thank you. I know there's H, 2, and O's. Thank you. Your flesh, it's a cruel thing. It's an unruly thing. I'm just calling it things the Bible calls. It says it's unruly. It's the bad little boy in class. It's always getting in trouble. Your flesh. Let me tie that back into the scripture, because according to scripture, my spirit is saved, past tense. My mind is being saved, present tense. My flesh is not saved, but it's going to be. I'm going to have a new body. This old body, the Bible says, it cries out for it. It wants it. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. That word still is translated to shall. He shall deliver us. Can you get a picture of that? This is a great, tremendous picture of God. He's the God who did and does and shall. Hallelujah. So when you're over here in this area where temptation and failure can take place, that's where shall resides, if you choose the shall. Shall deliver me. He said he'll make a way of escape for you. It's a setup, but you've got to receive it as a setup. And you've got to quit. This is where I said a few minutes ago about imagining. This is where you got to let imagination kick in. Because if you use think, your think will direct you to the last time that you failed in this area. And if all you ever think about, because you're kind of made that way. And the enemy will definitely remind you. If you ever forgot about a failure, the enemy's like, hey, ding, let me ring that light bulb for you. You failed. Ever so clearly you failed right here. You didn't just fail, you're a failure. Anybody ever had the enemy talk nice to you? I promise you that was a trick. That was just to get you in deeper. Because this is a place of shall. He's doing everything that he's dancing in front of you. He's doing everything he can to distract you from the truth of God's word right here. That's why my spirit that got saved, I stand over here and I sing songs on Sunday morning and I feel like, man, ain't nothing hinder me now. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I didn't let my mind agree with that. So my mind agreed with the failure and thought, well, just one more time. Pastor John said he's full of mercy. Just talk yourself right out of it. We've all been right here. But this doesn't need to be an extended stay. I talked to the men last week. I didn't mean to close that, but I talked to us about evaluating. And I'm not going to open it again, but I talked to you about it's coming down to December, evaluating your year. I'm asking you right now, evaluate. Evaluate. Not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your parents, not your friends, not a family member, none of that. I'm asking you to evaluate you, but I'm asking you to be real. This is one where you can trick me, you can fool me. Because I'm pulling for you. God's pulling for you, but he will pull for you with the truth. Because if there's struggle, if you got struggle in your life, you know what that means? It means you're human. That's all it means. If you got repeated struggle in your life, that means that you're a human that has not reached a place of victory. But there's a place of victory because he has delivered. He delivers, and he shall deliver.
Amen. Yes.
I just want to speak against the false finish lines of your life. Because if you're stuck at a place of having to decide every time, am I going to... That's a false finish line. Because what used to bank off your mind as a memory of failure, you need a win. You just... To somebody who's failed continually, what they really need is a win in their life. You just need one. You need one win in your life so that you can establish what a win feels like.
That's right.
And the possibility of winning again. Because to win once means you won, but to win twice means you are a winner, that you win things.
Yes.
And you need some victories in your life, and you need to start winning, and you need to know what winning feels like. So I'm going to ask you to do something that you may be uncomfortable doing with, because there's something about us when we failed, even though we hate failing, and even though we hate being called a failure, we picture ourselves as a failure. And we settle in, Alice, I'm a failure.
Yes.
That's why I said it might be a little uncomfortable for you, but I want you to not think, I want you to imagine yourself winning. Imagine a win. Imagine a win. You want to know what one of the first things that happens with the win is? That thing that used to be guilt. Some of you, if you could just live one day, 1 hour without guilt in your life, it'd be like getting a fresh infusion of oxygen-rich blood into your veins. Oh, I didn't know it felt so good to win. But let me take pressure off of you real quick. Your winning is actually getting to celebrate his win and walk in his win. That's the thing.
Yes.
Because me winning and celebrating what I've done, that's not the thing. That's false finish line. But when I learn to celebrate what he's done and how that feels and how that builds and how that grows, and that becomes very addictive in my life, and my relationship with him grows, and I feel like it's, what's that? You pleased with me? I thought you were always mad at me. I thought I was just a big mistake. The enemy lies, lies, lies. Get out of that little closet of guilt that the enemy wants to keep you in, and start imagining yourself walking in his light every day. What would that feel like? I don't know. It's your imagination right now. You run with it. How's it going to be when I stop failing? How's it going to be when I don't have to feel like I'm walking in guilt or feeling like I'm being a hypocrite in everybody? I got a definition of hypocrite yesterday. Maybe it was this morning. I was looking at some stuff. I never saw this translation of the word hypocrite. But you know what it was translated to? Pretender. I thought about that song. Oh yes, I'm the great pretender. How horrible it must feel to pretend. You know why I know? You know why that struck a chord with me? Because I used to pretend. I knew what it was to pretend. Let's just finish with this. I talked, had a wedding yesterday in Virginia. And Christine's niece got married, and I finally feel safe after 26 and a half years of calling her my niece. How weird is that? Just feels weird, like the family lines, like it's her side of the family, it's her niece. And I was there when she was born. I love these kids, but something just feels weird. But okay, sorry, that was just me. Just forget that. Y'all see my weirdness that I have to. I got a little Rain Man going on in there, I guess, sometimes. But your brother, my brother-in-law, tried to slide into that one. My brother-in-law, our other niece, he's had two daughters get married this year. Woo! He's selling acres of land. And and his final daughter to get married, guess who caught the bouquet yesterday? She did. I told her cousin, I said, Mike Ritchie would have paid you to elbow smash her, and you could have made a couple thousand bucks easy. Don't catch that bouquet. But I talked to the newest father-in-law, who's actually a preacher. It's the first time we ever got to talk. He's the one who officiated the last wedding. And it was just beautiful. And the words that he said, his son was getting married to Mike's daughter, your niece. And we sat at Mike's house yesterday, her brother, my brother-in-law. And this man's name is Colin. He's a pastor. And I started talking to Colin. And we started talking about stuff. And just all of a sudden, man, that conversation got real deep. I'm talking about real deep. And he said, you know, I wasn't raised in church. He said, I wasn't raised in church at all. He said, we didn't even have a Bible in the house. And he said, I was bad. Just a little humble man. I mean, he's a small frame man, just so humble. But man, he had me by my heartstrings. We're sitting there talking. I'm wiping tears out of my eyes. He said, I didn't even know how to pray. He said, I was in the military. He said, I was a nasty, filthy blasphemer. He said, I didn't believe in any of it. My family was agnostic. He said, I reached a place in my life. He said, I didn't even know how to pray. He said, I got down beside my barrack. And he said, I said, God help me. He said, I didn't know what else to pray. He said, that was my prayer. God help me. They said stories of him that he had taken God's word, taken a Bible, and threw it down on the ground and laughed at people. I don't believe it. And he said, God answered me right back. And he said, I love you and I will help you. He said, all those years later, he said, and I'm a preacher. And I told him, I said, you know what? I see the enemy always trying to make you feel like you never should have been, and you blasphemed, and you said these things against God, and yeah, God's going to use you. I said, I know that because of what you said. See, I was raised in church. We had Bibles everywhere, most of them dusty. Most of mine were dusty. I was raised in church. My dad was a pastor. Enemies always tried to make me feel like, oh, you were raised in church and that's as far as you've gotten. I said, but Colin, here's the truth of it. A minute ago, you said, I was filthy, nasty. And I was a blasphemer. And never been to church and everything. I said, guess what? I grew up in church, and guess what I was? I said, I was filthy and nasty and a blasphemer, pretender. And I said, because of what you've been through, you're going to be better to forgive than I am. I was around things long enough for religious spirit to attach itself to me and look at people, judge them, and think I'm better than them. And you came in thinking, God, if you'll just help me. And you know, you think that you'd want to change places with people, but the truth is, we are all filthy and nasty before God. And He loves us, and He will help us. That's the God that we serve.
Amen.
I think there's hope for me after all. That lets me know there's hope for us. There's hope for you. I'm convinced because I know He delivered. I know He delivers. And I know that He will deliver. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. I can't make Him more appealing than He is. I wish I could. But how can you make the one who can forgive you of all of your sins more appealing? It's a choice. Will you take that? Or will you settle for that enemy who's got his hand around your neck trying to squeeze every bit of life he can out of you? He's a merciful God. He's the Father of mercy. It's just like His Word says. You're the Father of mercy. You're the God of all comfort. Listen, church family. I know He's the God of all comfort, and I'm going to need it. And I've needed it this week as much as any week, and you do too. Your pastors are in pain, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you can pray for us. So there's something wonderful you can do about it. You don't need to feel sorry for us. That doesn't help anything. Just don't forget our daughter. Don't let her memory die. This is the hardest thing ever. But I have to go back to His Word. He's the God of all mercy. He's the God of all comfort. He will help us through this. And He's already got plans to take this and use it for someone else who's hurting. The very thing that I said, God, I don't want Kenzie's life to be something for anybody else. I don't want her sick anymore, God. I want her healed. Well, He did that. He answered every prayer we ever prayed for her. And now we're scheduled to speak to families. We got a conference that we got to do. We got to meet here this month with something. And we're going to pour into people who probably 90% of them are going to walk where we have walked. And we got to give them some hope. Pray for us. The enemy doesn't care. He just doesn't want us to be effective to somebody else that's going to need to hear this. I know my enemy's nasty, but I know that my God is able. And I love Him. And I trust Him, but doesn't mean this is easy. Y'all pray for my beautiful wife that I love so much. You have no idea how hard today was for her. You have no idea how hard it was to get up this morning and to roll out. I hope you love my wife like I think you do. This is a good woman right here. In this world, you're going to have troubles. Take heart. He's overcome this world. Listen, I don't want this to be a downer. I've said enough today. I think that we've touched every realm of the emotional chart. I certainly have felt that way. I feel drained emotionally inside. But the truth at the end of the day is this is not all it. That is all it. That's what matters. Amen. Can I pray over you? Father, I do love you, and I do thank you, and I do believe you, and I do appreciate you. And I know that you're right. And I agree that you're right. You're right. You're right whether I would have agreed or not. You're right. But I do agree. Because of what we've been through, we are uniquely qualified to speak into an area. And because you've helped us walk through, and because you're helping us walk through, I know that you will help us as we walk through. But you do it for all of us, and you'll do it for all of us. I give you praise, God, for your big picture, for everything that you are. God, I ask you to redeem the hardest places in our lives for your glory. Redeem the heart. Can you just tell him that, God, redeem the hardest places of my life for your glory? Because if you'll say that, that means you believe that you're going to get through. That means that you believe that you see, that you're imagining a place where this pain is not going to be as great as it is right now.
Yes.
I'm imagining, I'm seeing a victorious life. And I'm seeing that even though the enemy has come against me with everything that he's got, your hand, God, as long as I hold to it, is greater than anything that the enemy has. And you will see me through. And through it all, I will be victorious. We will be victorious. Thank you for who you are, God. Thank you because you see our humanness and you understand it because you created it. But you gave your son Jesus to pay for all of our humanness. We love you, Lord. We trust you, God. Thank you that you have delivered. Thank you that you are delivering. And thank you that you will deliver. In Jesus' name, amen.